God is good all the time, and that is his nature.
Well,
I'm sorry I have to disappoint you. But before I disappoint you, let me pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you thanksgiving. Lord, for making it possible for us to be in your sacred space of worship this hour. Lord, we thank you that last night wasn't our last night, but we are here by your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for that. It's not by our own might, it's not by our own power, it's not by our own strength, but your spirit kept us. Your spirit is keeping us, and your spirit will always keep up till life's journey. Lord, we're about to hear from you. Speak a word, Lord. Come with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and minister to us. And help us to not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word, so together we can experience the fruit of your word. Speak a word, Lord, because your servants are listening. This I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let me disappoint you. Good morning, church. This is, for some of you who are new, it's International Month. It's an opportunity where non-Congolese partake fully in the service. Like our sister who's leading the service is from Ghana, I'm from Sierra Leone. And this has been going on for the last couple of years. I came to this church in 2016 and I've been here since. And this is how we all started, like coming to minister and actually make use of what God has installed us to be. And a few years ago, about 2 years ago, I came to this church and I said I was officially going into seminary. And we all clapped like, yay, because I mean, since I started preaching in this church, all kinds of names have been labeled on me. Some people, pastor, but they say calls me evangelist. Some people even call me bishop. Some people, I'm their pastor. And I tell them, I am not any of these. But so you can imagine that joy when 2 years ago I said I was officially going into seminary. Well, last year, I went through a rigorous process right throughout the year in my country, doing examinations, interviews, questions, trial summons. And last Sunday, on the 6th of November, right at Wesley Methodist Church, Freetown, Sierra Leone, I was officially received as a fully accredited Methodist local preacher. A fully accredited Methodist local preacher. What does that mean? In the Methodist church, we don't have pastors. We have superintendents and reverend. Now, if you become a local preacher, an accredited local preacher, that means you are qualified by the Methodist Church Universal to preach in any church. And that also means you are one step now away from becoming a fully ordained minister, like Pastor Barry said. So I am not a pastor yet. I am not an evangelist. Well, maybe. I am not a bishop. I don't know. But I am a fully accredited Methodist local preacher. And I want to say thank you to Sebeka. Thank you to Sebeka for one thing. When I gave my closing courtesies at the ceremony, okay, before I said the ceremony, media team, can you just help me through it? Like, as I said, on the 6th of November, I was officially received as a fully accredited Methodist local preacher. Some of you may have seen on social media, some of you may have not seen it, but those are the two priests, and that was me, sandwiched by the other Methodist preachers, whilst we were doing the induction process, continue. And they were laying hands on me just to receive the blessing. And this is the formal Bible that the Methodist Church gives you as an ordained local preacher. And this was me. And the proudest man in all eternity was my father. He's 87 years old. He couldn't walk properly, so I told him, just sit at the back and observe. And right in the middle of the service, I just saw him with a steward, an usher, and his walking stick. They were carrying him, like, right, walking right until he came and sat right in front. He said, I want to see what's going on. From the back, I couldn't see. So he was the proudest man, and I'll tell you something later. Next one. And this was the choir. Novelle Simmons, that's your compatriots. Yeah. So, that's the end of it. So now, I received that calling. And this morning, I'm here to speak to you about the topic, the call is answered. The call is answered. And I would like to invite you all to open your Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Before we read, the Holy Spirit put in my heart today that don't preach. We're not going to preach. We're going to talk about something about the calling. What does it mean? Because if you're familiar with the scripture, when you say Matthew 28, the first thing that comes to your mind is something that we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission. So we're going to talk. We're going to open. I'm happy that we are few, but we are substance. That media team just ready to pass the mic, because I'm going to ask questions. I want us to actually engage on things that stifle the work of the ministry, because this church is about discipleship. So what is hindering us from becoming a disciple? Let's just go to scriptures again. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, beginning to read from verse 16. If you're there, say amen. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you away, always, even unto the end of the world. That's the word of God. Amen. Here is Jesus with his disciples. And this text opens up to say, he was with them and they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. How do you worship somebody on one side and on the other side, you doubt? And then Jesus said to them, hey, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go out into the world and make disciples. Teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then you teach them. Did you hear that? That's a threefold commission. Go out into the world and make disciples. Then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then teach them my commandments. So the question I want to ask this morning that we can engage is, what is this great commission? Why is it called a commission? Believe you me, I have my own testimony based on what I just introduced with the pictures and everything. Because that journey, this journey, did not start at Civica. This journey did not start in 2008 when I left Sierra Leone. This journey did not start in 2006 when I was called to say, come on, let's start the process, start practicing how to become a preacher. This journey didn't start in all those. For me, this journey started when I was 6 or 7 years old. Believe you me, I still remember. That one day after church, like we normally have here, they announced that there's a consolation service. We go to visit one member who had a funeral. And they were praying and they were singing. And I was a child running up and down. And somebody stopped and said, whose child is that? And my parents came forward and said, like, that's our son. And they said, pray over that child. Prophesy over that child. Because that child has a calling over his life. I remember that one up to this very day as if it was yesterday. And so there's no doubt in my mind, when I showed you that picture of my father with a proud smile on his face, because he probably is the only one living member apart from me who was there present that day when it was prophesied in the 1980s that I would have a calling on my life and I would become a preacher going out preaching the good news. So you can imagine the pride he felt. You can imagine how he felt. And all through my years, I may have done some things that I shouldn't do. I may have gone to some places that I have no business going. But right through all those things, the Spirit always speaks to me, know who you are. And I know who, we have that song that we sing, we are the chosen generation, I know who I am. And this is the point, like when this text, the scriptures talk about John 10:10, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it said, the thief comes to steal, to destroy, but I've come to give you life. The thief comes to steal because the devil is out there like a roaring lion trying to move you away from the calling of God. And you have to have that spirit in you to know that every time the devil tries to say one thing, you go the other way. Every time the devil tries to remind you of who you are, you are bold enough to say, I am not. When every time the devil tries to tell you that somebody who you are, you tell him the other way that I am blessed, I am chosen, I am delivered, I am more than a conqueror, and I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me. And that's that calling in my life that I want to explain to you this morning. And the question I want to ask you this morning, what is stopping you? So let's examine the Great Commission. It's three. Go out into the world, make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them my commandments. So what is your understanding of the Great Commission? Can we have some? Feel free. Just say something. This is not a preaching. I've already started preaching. I didn't want to preach. What's your understanding about this Great Commission? Anybody? If you don't volunteer, I'll start calling your names. You say, okay, Brother Moindo, you laughed first, so go. Let's hear from you. What's your understanding about the Great Commission?
I think my understanding of the Great Commission has evolved over time. Previously, it was about getting into full-time ministry and going out to preach and literally baptize people in water and then teach them. But I think throughout my growth as a Christian, as a believer, I've understood that it's a call to represent Christ where I am, to teach through words, through my life, and also to baptize if I can, if I'm not in Sebeka, because here you have to be ordained to baptize. But I can lead people to where they will be baptized. But the teaching part is what I think my calling is, on the teaching to obey. So I believe that the Great Commission is like threefold, as you said, but there is a specific place where one is called more than the other. I believe I'm called more on the teaching part. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's clap for him. I'm going to hold you on that side about the teaching part. I'll come to that part, the teaching part. Yes, anybody? If you don't say, Pastor Badi, say once, yeah.
Maybe I should add to what Brother Mwindo say, that Great Commission is just a call to witness. Say what Christ have done for you and who is for your life. Adding to what you have said.
Thank you very much.
Call to witness.
Yeah, I see Pastor David is shaking his head. He wants to add something there. Yes, Pastor David, yes. Yes.
I think Pastor Badusuri is reading my mind. Just three words. Be a witness for Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody from the back? Lady? I will call names. Yes. Oh, yes, Gemma. Pastor's wife. Yeah, so she, I forgot.
The word commission is sending. You're sending off. You are being sent off. So we are all sent off by God to do the work of the Lord. See, from the beginning that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I started serving the Lord, I've been in so many places. So wherever places I go, I always do what God calls me to do. My calling, I believe, is teaching and ushering. That's all.
Thank you very much. Let's clap for all the answers. Anybody wants to say again before I move on? Okay, so we see that great commission. Now, the word itself, commission. They commissioned us to do the work of him that sent us. And then he says, baptize them. Why do we need to baptize? Because the baptism is to take away the old you and bring in the new you in Christ Jesus. So the baptism is our outward presentation of the inward changes of the Spirit. So you are a new man when you are baptized. Now, why is it not called the Great Suggestion? It's called the Great Commission. Because this is a command. Jesus did not say, hey, when you have time, go out and make disciples. No. His instructions were clear to every one of us. He said, go. He gave it to the disciples. So that brings me to my next question. When I was in Sierra Leone, there were some issues in the church with some pastors. And then somebody remarked, he said, there are some people who God called. And there are some people who called themselves. You understand that? There are some people who God called, and there are some people who called themselves. But then, it sounds funny, but it's inaccurate. Because the commission was not given to a specific set of people. The commission was given to everybody. You and me. But the problem is, just as Mohindu said, we miss the commission a little bit because the commission is not only about preaching. And believe you me, that's why people are ashamed or afraid to come forward. Because we have that mindset in us that when you say, let's go out, it's about preaching. So if it's about preaching, so if those my brothers who are there, propagating this thing on the media team, who are giving us all these things every day. So if my sisters and brothers who are singing every day, yeah, they are not preaching, are they not part of spreading the gospel? The brothers who play the instruments there, are they not part of spreading the gospel? So you see, Mohindu said, his calling is teaching. Now, so the problem is, when we try to do what we are not ordained to do, then that's where the problem is. That's why you see, there's a problem when we talk about relationships, when you're trying to marry somebody of a different religion. Because the problem is, if you force them because of marriage to be part of your religion, when you go through trials and tribulation during marriage, they're going to snap and go back to where they are. Because they are calling of accepting Jesus was not based on a personal relationship, but a secondary relationship. So the calling has to be direct from God and knowing what God has called you to become. Like me, I know I'm here to preach. Since I was a child, I've always been preaching. I had toys. I think I've said that before. Seldom played with toys. My daily practice was climb on top of the chairs and tables in the house and start preaching to the rugs and the tables, and whatever I was saying, I have no idea. And it will amuse my brothers and my sisters. They will come and look at me whilst I'm saying rubbish. But for me, that was it. I knew I had this calling that I had to preach. So, what is exactly holding you back? What is your talent that God has given you that is holding you back from being part of this great commission? What is holding you back? Is it a problem of our ministry that maybe the church is too stiff or something like that? Or maybe you don't have time? Or what exactly is holding you back? What are the problems and the challenges that we have as a church that stifles people from coming forward? Anybody? Anybody? Pastor Bani said he's taking notes. Yes. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is holding us back is we don't make exercises. You know, there are some people who got talents, as you said, from their birth, their childhood. They started to preach. But there are others who, when they receive Christ, the Holy Spirit give them some gifts. To perform those gifts, they have to make some exercises. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, what he's trying to say is, like, maybe we need to do it as a common practice here in church. Because at Civica, which I know, there are lots of ministries. There's a singing ministry. There's a media team ministry. There's an worship ministry. And they have outreach ministry. There are certainly... So, I mean, you must have one talent in all of those ministries to come to church, to actually be part of that great commission. You have that gift that God has given you to actually make use to be in one of these ministries. So if you are not preaching, I'm sure you can sing. If you can't sing, I'm sure you can usher somebody. If you can't usher somebody, I'm sure you can go up to the media, they can teach you. If you can't do that, I'm sure you can be part of the outreach ministry that goes out to preach, to go, you're a member of that body. Because when we put all these, our talents to God, then we accept that commission that Christ has given us. Amen? Amen? Now, my last question, because of time. So, if we don't accept or answer to that call, is that a sin? James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. If you don't answer to that call, what do you think? Is that a sin? Are you being... So, we're there? Let's read it together. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is what? That's the King James Version. The Good News Bible interprets it differently. It's like, if God gives you a command and you know it, and then you refuse to do it, that's a sin. It's called the sin of omission. The sin of omission. Why are we omitting what God has given, the commandments God has given us? I mean, in churches, we have all kinds of people in the church. I noticed, even when I came to Civica, I started observing some people. You have some people, they come to church every single Sunday. You will see them here in church. The moment the pastor gives the benediction, they are the first to leave. By the time you're coming out, you see them going. Every Sunday. You know, I grew up in a church. There are some people who I only see on Sundays. In fact, most of you here, I only see you here on Sunday. I think Brother Moindo, we've only met once outside this space at a supermarket. Most of you here, I only see on Sunday. As a child, when I grow up, there are some people, if I don't see them on Sunday, then it's not a Sunday. So when we come after church and you see us going down under the wisdom tree, that's how I call it, the wisdom tree, because that's where all the knowledge is come when you go down there. And we engage in discussion, and like, it's just that fellowship of somebody that I haven't seen from last week. So when I don't see you one Sunday, I don't see you on one other Sunday, I'm concerned what happens. So this is how we start the witness. This is not a, so we as a commissioner, Louis, the witnesses and the outreach ministry, we have to be concerned with one another. And then the Bible, among the instructions, the commission that God gives, which I want to close with, is this. He said, go and baptize them and teach them my commandments. What are my commandments? There are two of the greatest commandments that Christ gave in Matthew 22, verse 37. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, you shall love the Lord with what? With all your heart, with all your heart, and with all your soul. That is the greatest commandment. And the next one, which is love thy neighbor as thyself. That commandment to love your neighbor as yourself encompasses everything. Because if I care about myself, I'll be cared about the next person. So if you don't see somebody here in church today, you don't see them the next Sunday, ask, what's going on? You see somebody like minister, fellowship, don't just leave the church and go. Because when we omit the commandments of God, then we are capable of sinning, the sin of omission. And because there are things that we see and we shouldn't keep quiet, we should be talking about it, the sin of silence. Go out there, make disciples, preach, teach, baptize, and teach them my commandments. Love your neighbor as thyself. So are we ready to answer that call? In our emojis, when you send a text, when you give instructions, we all might be like, okay, noted. So maybe we can all say that together. Okay, noted. But the song I want to close with, when Isaiah says, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, here am I. Send me. God is looking for people who to send. God is looking for people who come forward to do the work of him that has sent us. He's looking for you. You are out there and you are waiting. You keep postponing. You keep postponing. Are you ready to answer to that call of the Great Commission? Let us be on our feet. Are you ready to answer to the call of that Great Commission? There's this song I want us to sing. When Jesus calls me, I will answer. I don't know if you know it. When Jesus calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening to his name. When Jesus calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When he calls me, I will answer. Let's again. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. Oh, when he calls me, when he calls me to go out and spread the good news, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Just go before God right now and say something. Are you somewhere listening for your name? He's already called you to go out and make disciples. He's already called you to go out and baptize them in his name. Name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He's already called you to teach them your commandments, that you must love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the greatest commandment. And a new commandment I give to you. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Lord, he's standing at the door knocking. He's waiting there to enter. All we have to do is to say yes to the calling. Because wonderful things happen when we make the decision to say yes to Jesus Christ. Are you ready to make that decision? Are you ready to answer that call? I have answered the call. What about you? Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We glorify your name for the opportunity to share your word with your people. Lord, as we seek to go out and make disciples, as we seek to go out to propagate your word, as we seek to go out to preach the good news, as we seek to go out to teach, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit empower us. Empower us from the bottom, from the head, crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Empower us in every area of our life, by thought, by word, by deed, by our actions and what we seek to do. Let your glory be lifted above us, that men, when they see us, their light will shine so much that they will see the glory of you, and your name will have all the praise and all the glory. Lord, accept our praise of thanksgiving this morning. Accept our praise of ministry this morning. Accept all our worship and thanksgiving this morning. As we leave this place, we know that we will never be the same again. That your Spirit will revive us, that your Spirit will minister to us, that your Spirit will teach us until the ends of the earth, when we will be united with you and you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless us once more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.